Give it up for Josh Johnson.
The world has a clear imbalance to it, and people get away with things all the time that they shouldn't be able to. But every once in a while, something really fair happens. Yeah, I mean, something happens that's so fair that you're like, even though a person took it into their own hands to make it happen, you're like, you know what? This makes up for a little bit. Like, I'll give you an example. Okay, so my buddy is a wedding photographer. He's been a wedding photographer for like 17 or 18 years, maybe even 20. And so he's done weddings, you know, for most of his adult life. He got in photography as a kid, and now that's like his prime means of income. And so he was doing this wedding, and everything's going good. Everybody dancing, having a good time, you know, like, get that slide. You know, the toast, everybody's toasting, you know, I've always loved you. Good conversation, eating good food. And one of the bridesmaids walked up to him at some point in the wedding and was asking him questions because she was getting into photography. And she even thought, I might photograph weddings one day. Maybe that'll be how I make money. And so he was giving her, you know, sort of like, lowdown on how he does it and how he expects there to be like a wedding season that'll be where he makes the bulk of his money, and then he'll have to save up money. The conversation lasted about like 4 minutes, right? But then she walks off, and then the groom walks up, and the groom walks up and says to him, look, you are here to take pictures. Okay? I don't want to see you talking to the guests or anything, because while you're talking, you could be snapping, so... Snap, snap. All right? And so then this dude, you know, goes ahead like a professional, finishes all the pictures and everything. And they get their pictures 2 weeks later, which was the agreement. And the bride looks beautiful. The groom, everybody was dancing, but somehow he caught the groom just. Everybody was eating. It was only with the groom that was like. Everybody was toasted. It was only the groom that was like. So obviously this dude called him back, furious. He was like, what's wrong with you? I thought you were a good photographer. Are you out of your mind? Why are you taking pictures like this and sending them? My wife looks beautiful. You made me look terrible. And he was like, oh, I just wanted everybody to see what you were like on the inside, you know, from the... And so when I saw those Vanity Fair pictures... I was so genuinely taken aback. So in case you haven't seen them, wow, spectacular, jeez. In case you have not seen these Vanity Fair pictures, they are so fundamentally wild. Okay, so. Susie Wiles did an interview with Vanity Fair, but they did like a whole profile of Trump's cabinet, did all these pictures of Trump's cabinet, right? And the photographer, Christopher Anderson, was taking the pictures. And he's known for taking pictures that are sort of like out of the box in general, you know? Like, you do know what you're getting into when you hire someone like him because you know he's going to do something unconventional, you know, something fresh, right? And he took a picture... He took a picture of J.D. Vance. It's way too close. It's way too close to his head. It's so close. It's, oh, man. The picture is so close. It looked like when you go to take a picture with your phone and you open it and it's accidentally on selfie mode. And then you get insecure. You're like, ooh, ooh. People see when they see me? This is the last thing. This close is the last thing people see before I kiss them. That's insane. That's probably why we close our eyes when we kiss. Even our ancestors were like, this is too intimate. This is insane. The picture is so close to his head. It is so close to his face. I shouldn't even say head. His head not in it. It is so locked in on his face. It's not, I can't even call it face. His whole face wasn't in it. It is middle head. He got, so the whole picture, middle head, middle face, center. Locked in, middle head, middle face. And he's I don't know what his plan was for the picture. Because yes, this person was too close, but he also made that face. Because he made a face. It wasn't just his face. He made a face. He did like, okay. There's a sneer that dudes will do if they think that they're bad. Yeah, you know what I mean, like you lift one side of your face. It's like you're gonna smirk. It's usually what a villain does in a movie. Like right when they're introduced, they'll be like, huh. Now he did overdo it. He did overshoot the sneer, so it's very much like, ugh. Looked like he stepped on a Lego and was trying to hold it together. You know what I mean? You ever get hurt in front of somebody and you don't want to look hurt, so you just... Okay, I'll give you a good example. All right. One time for 4th of July, I went with some friends to their family's 4th of July. Spent the whole 4th of July with them, right? And they were firing off in the backyard. A bunch of the kids were firing off Roman candles, right? And so then they all... Right? Everybody was having a good time. And then this kid fired one off. And then the last one exploded, but it exploded before it got all the way out of the tube. So some of it did explode, like, on his hand a little bit, right? And everyone saw it. And then, you know, kid is like 12, 13, right? And then there was this other girl at the party who was like 16. And so she turns, because we all heard the pop. And then she turns, like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Yeah. You know, he's 13. She's 16. She's an older woman. She just saw something horrific happen and asked him if he's okay. And he went, yeah, I'm fine, you know. It's whatever, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes things pop off, you know what I'm saying? You know, real question is, are you all right? Because you're looking all right, you know? Like, if anything, you know, you look a little parched. You want me to get you some lemonade? I was going inside anyway. Let me get you a lemonade. I'll be right back, right? And he walked off, that, you know, little man tried to walk off like Denzel. He tried, still had the Roman candle exploded in his hand, but he walked off. Gets inside. They had like a sliding glass door to their backyard. So he gets inside, slides the door back, turns around and goes, Dad! Anyway, J.D. Vance had like a... Crazy. That's a crazy face to even think is cool. Because you usually make it when bad stuff is happening. One time, this is vulnerable, I'm sorry. But, okay, so one time I went to this fair. It was when I lived in Chicago, and they did, like, that Taste of Chicago thing. And I went, and there was this one place that had the cheese. I don't remember what it's called, but basically they take a piece of bread, and they melt the cheese over the bread, and they use a knife to, like, cut the last little bit of cheese, and they hand it to you. And this was something I had never had before. I grew up in Louisiana. I grew up around a lot of, like, Cajun food, a lot of, like, you know, like, jambalaya, gumbo-type stuff, but I had never had this. And just this particular bread with butter, with this cheese on it, was one of the best things I had ever had in my life up until that point. It was so good. It was so good, I went back several times. It was so good that I went back several times. And then I went home and was telling people, I was like, they had the cheese. And they had the knife, and he was like... And then, like, you know, and lay it out over the bread and everything. He never spilled a drop of cheese. I was blown away, you know. If he had spilled it, I would have caught it. This was some of the most delicious cheese I've ever had in my life. I didn't know a person could eat this much cheese. I ate it like soup. This was the most cheese I've ever eaten. You know, I usually have cheese if it's like a little single slice on a burger or something like that. This cheese, I could eat all day, which I did, right? And then the next day... I was full of cheese. I was full of cheese the worst way possible. I was so full of cheese. Okay, so not only did the cheese mess me up, because I had nightmares. Because you know how they say, don't have dairy before bed and everything? I had eaten so much dairy that it was basically before bed, even though it was hours of... So I... Still remember the dreams, you know? I still remember. It was like two of my bullies from high school and a boss that... This was also what is crazy. This is why I haven't touched that cheese since, because I think it made me see the future. Because it was like two of my bullies from high school and a mean boss that I didn't have yet. I wouldn't have this boss for another year in real life. Like, when I saw him, when I was introduced to him, I was like, huh, because he was from my dream. This cheese took me to another dimension that night. No, so then it was these two bullies. Then this man over here, right? Hadn't met him yet, but they were all standing around me, and they were like, what do you even, like, you're not special. And then I woke up, it had been hours. That was the only thing that happened in the dream. I saw three of them, and they were like, you're not special, and it had been 6 hours. So I don't know if it took them 6 hours to say that in the real world, or if they said it, and then I just didn't register anything else for 6 hours. But when I woke up, I was sweating. I was sweating so much, and I was sweating cheese. I was sweating pure cheese. I smelled like my Chango had a car accident with Brie, and... Turned around in the bed, I was sweating pools of cheese. I sat up, felt like I had a rock in me. Stomach felt heavy and everything. I was like, that was too much cheese. It was too much cheese. I knew it was too much cheese because they almost didn't serve me the last one. The last one they didn't want to give me, but a sale is a sale. You know what I mean? You know. And so then, you know, sweating. I was looking in the mirror. I looked terrible. Just pouring sweat. Just looking in my own eyes in the mirror. And then sat down on the toilet and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And not for lack of trying. I even made the face. I was like, So when I saw J.D. Vance in the Vanity Fair, I was like, yes. Yes, clearly too much cheese. This man looked full of cheese. It is, the picture is so close to his head. It is crazy. It looked like him, but doesn't look like him. He's got one of the most interesting faces I've ever seen. Because he is not, but somehow almost, but definitely not, but maybe, but if you look real fast and blink twice, kind of handsome. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody flashed a picture of his face, you'd be like, I think that was a chin. Like, I think whoever you showed me has a chin. And then if you look at him too long, you're like, what are your cheeks doing? All right? What is their function? Are they out or are they in? I can't tell what is happening under that beard. Even his eyes, I'm like, is that eyeliner? Is it eyeliner, or does he just have like a smoky eye naturally? Is that what evil does to a person? You know what I mean? Does he look like... You know the mini boss? You know the mini boss before the middle of the movie? You know the first person that James Bond... The first person that James Bond, like, kick off a cliff or something like that. He got that face. And the picture is too close. I know. They did him dirty on purpose, but still, they did me dirty. Like, that's... I had to look at it. I didn't know this was possible. This is how talented the photographer is. The photographer made J.D. Vance look like J.D. Vance from South Park. Like, the way he looked in the thing is so close that when you fill out the rest of the face, you imagine it the way that they did it in South Park. And even in South Park, they were like, let's go ahead and, like, over-exaggerate every feature. That is what will make it funny. Ha ha comedy, right? But then this guy was like, nah, I think I could do it for real. Like, I think I could do that to him. Whew. I don't know. If I had a picture of me like that, I think I'd have to start anew. New life, new face. That is crazy. And then they didn't just do the close-ups, you know. Christopher didn't just do the close-ups. He did a bunch of other photos. He took another photo of J.D. Vance. This one was full body, all right? But this one was also hilarious because he zoomed out too far. Like, this... J.D. Vance is over here. He probably told him to stand against the wall and give some sort of power pose. So then he's over here, got, like... I think he's holding his ring or something like that, trying to give, like, a sort of House of Cards look, like... Meanwhile, he doesn't know the camera zoomed out enough that it's not just him at the wall. It's the floor. It's like a part of another room. I don't know what that is. I'm not acting like I know. I wasn't there. But I think he snuck a couch in the picture, which is also crazy work. That is a wild thing to do to somebody. To put a Wayfair looking couch in a picture of J.D. Vance trying to sulk a little bit. It's a very romantic picture. It's crazy right here. And then, whew, he wasn't done. took a picture of Marco Rubio. And he took a picture of Marco Rubio. He decided to make this one black and white. J.D. Vance was color. All the colors. He caught the acne, caught everything. And Marco Rubio's, though, was black and white. And he's looking off from the camera a little bit, you know? And even he was probably looking off. He probably told him, like, hey, give me something, you know? Give me something. Give me your version. Give me what you think would be. Try. Little Sexy. And then Margot Rubio hit him with the... But he did it so close. He took the picture so close that Margot Rubio just looks slapped. Like... He looked like that moment that somebody gets slapped right before they look at who slapped them. You know what I mean? Like, they just moved your face. And a down slap, too. A down slap is very disrespectful. Normally, when being slapped, as someone who has been slapped, being slapped, depending on the situation, the height of the person, and their feelings about you, the slap is normally a sort of follow-through. You know what I mean? It's sort of a bow this way from right to left, you know? But if somebody really tried to disrespect you, or they got like 8 inches on you, they gotta aim down anyway, so it becomes a pow, a downward slap. Downward slap is tough to swallow. It is, especially as a man. If you get downward slapped as a man, oof, you gotta reevaluate things. I'm sure there are some people who didn't even believe in gun ownership until they got downward slapped. Getting downward slapped will change your life. You know, wow, right? You don't really catch up. Up is too close to an uppercut, but up would be funny. Somebody jump up. Face goes, oh, look at the stars. But this, you know, Marco Rubio down like this, look like he's sulking a little bit. Like the picture is so close to his head. It looks like you are comforting him. You know what I mean? Because it looked like he's in the picture like... I was supposed to be chief of staff. He promised. You know when you get mad and you don't know what to do with this, so you just put it in your shoulder, then promise. Down. Rough. That's rough work. I mean, then he took another picture of Marco Rubio. This time it was full body. And honestly, you should have stuck with close-ups, because the full body is genuinely wild, because Marco Rubio, I don't know what he told Marco to do, but he took a full body picture of him. Very far away, once again, just like Jay Vance, very far away, makes him look small. I don't know why Trump called him little Marco Rubio. Maybe it's because he genuinely is a short man. Maybe it's because he shrinks up when he's around real men. Like, I don't know why Trump would call him little Marco Rubio until I saw the picture. And I was like, that is crazy to put him in the picture, have him stand there. He's bent over a little bit. There's a lamp right here, and there's a doorknob on the other side, because they let an open door be in the frame. And Marco Rubio fighting that doorknob for height. Fighting. Normally, I don't even think about doorknobs like that, but I was like, how close is that doorknob to his head? That doorknob look egregiously. Is that a big door? It was genuinely uncomfortable. I was over here, and you know, he's leaned over. This dude leaned over. And it doesn't really make sense why he's leaned over. Like, it feel like maybe he told him to look longingly at the lamp or something like that. Like, I don't know. No, you already got JD with the couch. Maybe Marco with the lamp. But he's standing there looking like a piece of candy fell out of his pocket. Like, no. Now it's dirty. Oof. Even the picture that they took of all of them together, I'm sure that they thought, there's a thing that happens when you're taking pictures, you know what I mean? Where you are going off of what the person telling you to take the picture, they're telling you to do. So you are assuming whatever they're telling you to do is going to look good, and that's why they're telling you to do it. I mean, so that they see everybody, you see everybody in the picture. He did one where everybody lined up around a desk, and even that one, he was too far away. So you just see like Stephen Miller on the edge, you see like Caroline Leavitt standing up, and I'm sure they thought that this was going to be like the next cover of the reboot of West Wing. But it just looks terrible. Like, they look terrible in it. As a photo, I can't look away. Even with Stephen Miller. A picture of Stephen Miller is already unnecessary. Yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible to look at Stephen Miller and not think of like Megamind, you know what I mean? Like, but this dude got real close to Stephen Miller. Dangerous, right? This dude got real close to Stephen Miller, and not as close as J.D. Vance and the others, right? You can see his whole head, and I don't know if he made him like tilt his head or if Stephen Miller just did that, but he tilts his head. And he did this one in black and white too. He did this one in black and white. You had a bunch of shadow, harsh shadow across his face, really like accentuating like the age and his features and everything, not really able to see his eyes clearly. And this man made Stephen Miller look exactly like an old picture of Joseph Goebbels. When I've heard Stephen Miller compared to Joseph Goebbels before. Like that thing, that like concept is not new. What is insane is that Christopher Anderson heard the comparison and he was like, yeah, I could do it. Wow. Even the picture that he took of Stephen Miller, like sitting on a couch, right? I think he was on a couch, may have been in a chair. He's over here, arm over, like this and everything. Probably told him, hey, sit like you're powerful. No, sit powerful, sit confident, sit like your wife isn't cheating on you with Elon Musk. I don't know, it's what I've heard. I don't know. He tells him to sit down, he sits down. And then he's got just a little puff of stomach out here. Something that normally a photographer would crop out if they liked you. Even Susie Wiles, they took a picture of Susie Wiles, chief of staff, and that one, very close. And she took that picture like she knew how close the camera was. Her eyes are very open. Wide open. And maybe he got that close because if you just see her, you don't really make the sort of comparison. But like to me, with a picture that close, Susie Wiles looked like she from another dimension. where Martha Stewart never became friends with Snoop Dogg. Like, well, like a dimension where Martha Stewart was as racist as Paula Deen. Never became friends with Snoop Dogg and got into politics. Whole thing was crazy. He even photographed one guy. I'll admit, I don't really remember who that dude was, but he just sort of made him look at the ceiling. And I was like, all right, fair enough. Yeah, I guess he's also confused about what he does. And then he took a picture of Caroline Leavitt. It's very close. Some would say two. And it just, wow. Wow. It's so close. That when I saw it, I was genuinely shocked. And I was like, yeah, that's a statement. That's a statement. I mean, you are the like mouthpiece for the government. You're like the mouthpiece for Trump and the government, and the picture that has been taken does make us look at your mouth. Yeah, I mean, usually it's full of lies. They were talking to Christopher Anderson about this photo shoot, and you know, when asked about it, he was like, as a photographer, I take it as my responsibility to photograph what I encounter. I don't know if he's British, but that seems like a very posh way to say, I was just trying to show who you were on the inside. It is funny, though, because that Vanity Fair article, you know, they interviewed Susie Wiles. And as chief of staff, you know, she has a lot of inside information. And she talked to this reporter, Christopher Whipple, for Vanity Fair 11 times. She talked to him 11 times. So it's not just like one interview that she could say is being taken out of context or they didn't use the whole thing. She came back 11 times. 11's a lot. At 11, y'all are like close. And yeah, she was just sort of like airing everybody out. It was crazy. It wasn't the same way people get aired out after people get fired. Sometimes people get fired and then out of anger, they just try to air everybody out that they worked with, any flaw, anything that they saw, this person's fake, whatever, all this stuff, right? This woman told Vanity Fair everything and then clocked back in. That is a pimp move if I ever saw one. That's probably one of the most powerful moves I've seen in Trump's administration. I'm going to tell everybody, and I dare you to fire me. I dare you to fire me. I'm the only one people like, apparently. That is crazy. You know, she said that Trump had the personality of an alcoholic. It's like, okay. Like, that's not anything that we didn't know. She didn't say he drank. She said he had the personality of an alcoholic. And if you've ever heard Trump tell a story, I've been to more than 1,000 barbecues where the same type of story was told by the same uncle who had to digress to digress, who... I would, if you told me Trump had been drunk this entire time, I would believe it. I'd be like, that all checks out now. This is, This actually makes so much more sense if you were drunk. Like, even a rally, you'll hear him speak at a rally, and you're like, if he was drunk, it would make sense that he speaks in commas. He can never just go through one sentence. There's always a detour, you know? Many are asking me, more people than I've ever asked anyone ever. You know, one time I was at a party and there were a lot of people there too. I'm being asked by almost as many people as there were at that party, but also, do you know Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson dated? That's kind of wild. Anyway, I was being asked by someone, I have the best polling numbers in the history of numbers. And when you check the numbers, they're going to seem fake because the radical left is, Nancy Pelosi also makes a lot of money from, she also makes a lot of money from the stock market. And I don't even know if that should be allowed. She's crooked. Her and her husband. You know who else has a husband? My wife. My wife has a husband. It's me. I'm my wife's husband. And I'm the president of the United States. I came here to tell you, you want to talk about something? The closest thing I can describe, like, Susie Wiles' Vanity Fair thing to is when I was in college, I would go to this fast food restaurant that was near the campus. I won't say which one, but I would go there, and I would go there just to hang out with one of the cashiers because she was amazing. She always was ready to tell you everybody's business while you ordered. We became fast friends because I would just walk in and be like, hey, how's it going? And she would tell me how it was going for everybody in there. She would air everybody out. There was one time I walked in, I'm like, hey, how's it going? I'll just get like 5 nuggets. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, it's going all right. We a little short staffed because, you know, Willie got arrested last night. He got arrested leaving work. They arrested him in the parking lot right there. Right that spot. Like where the Subaru is. They arrested him right there, you know. And they were like, get on the ground and everything. They tried to handcuff him. And, you know, I don't know. I don't like to take joy in people's downfalls. But Willie and I dated, and he did me wrong. You know what I mean? Like, it's a beautiful thing to watch your ex get arrested. I would recommend it for everybody. It's just something special about watching your ex get arrested and being all, get off me. You know what I mean? And Willie Little, so he trying to put up a fight, but it's not much of a fight. He just sort of like bouncing around in the cop's arm, and get off me. And then they tried to cuff him, and it was tough because they had to click, 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 click. They had to get that last one, click, 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 because, you know, he got the wrist of a bird. Like, he's just like, it's like trying to arrest Tweety Bird. You got to click it all the way. And then one of them slipped off, and they thought that was him. He was like, no, you got to click it all the way, because he'd been arrested before. Yeah. And so then they put him in the car and drove off. So, you know, he's not here on fries, but I'm having a great day. I'm doing wonderful. Yeah. There was one time I went in there. I was like, hey, how's your day going? And she was like, you know, Trisha getting on my nerves. Now, admittedly, I only knew her, so I didn't know what Trisha was supposed to mean. She's like, Trisha getting on my nerves. You know what I mean? Like, she over here acting like she can't handle the drive-thru because she pregnant. I'm not even kidding. Because she pregnant. We all pregnant, Trisha. People gonna act like they can't do something because they pregnant knowing you pregnant. I'm pregnant too, Trish. I mean, you know, it's just handing people stuff. All you gotta do, take the credit card and go ahead and hand it back. That's all we asking you to do, you know? But she over here, ooh, my back, ooh, my stomach. It's in your stomach, stupid. Your stomach gonna hurt, okay? I mean, because she want to act like she was a good employee before. She been bad, but now she just pregnant. You know what I mean? So then she... Anyway, what did you want? I was like, I just wanna know more. There was one time I walked in. I don't know what beef they had before I walked up, but she was walking to the counter. And she was walking to the counter and was leading to the counter, saw me, and she was like, as she's turned, sees me, had one more thing left that she wanted to say. She leads towards the counter, starts getting ready to type my thing. But then she's like, stay pregnant, Trisha. I've never heard stay pregnant in my life. But I don't know if I'll ever forget it. I just would air everybody out. So when I was reading this Vanity Fair article and I was reading what Susie was saying, I was like, I've been here before. It's basically coming off like, she thinks that J.D. Vance doesn't believe in much, how against Trump he was, and then all the way to becoming his vice president and everything. She even said some of the things that we knew but hadn't been said. You know, like they brought up Letitia James, they talked about Venezuela, and she said what we've all sort of been knowing. You know, Letitia James, oh, that's just sort of a retribution campaign, you know, really got nothing to do with any illegal activity. Oh, Venezuela, you know, that's really just for regime change and for oil. And like, I guess she's in a place where she can be honest about stuff sometimes. She's not the one that has to go speak in front of the nation. That's Caroline Leavitt. It's Caroline Leavitt that has to go out there now in light of us knowing everything we know from the Vanity Fair article and then ask, like, hey, so we're blowing up boats and we're claiming it's because of narco-terrorism when really it seems like we're just trying to bomb Maduro into submission so we can get some sort of regime change and also get their oil. Is this really just for oil? Is it really just attack on another country's sovereignty? And Caroline Leavitt guys stand there and be like, the president has been clear about this. He cares about the lives of American citizens. Mira.